I hold in my hand one of my most prized possessions. It is my Starbucks card. There will be coffee in heaven. I'm absolutely sure of it. There'll be baseball in heaven. Well, yeah. This is my card. I go in. I lay it down. I order my Venti. Now I'm into the... Has anybody had the Pikes Peak? The new... Oh, yes. Thank you. God! This is good. I get my Venti Pikes Peak. And they know me now enough that they didn't ask me, do you want cream? Leave room for cream. If I wanted milk, I'd drink milk! Right? Want coffee? Hello? Sorry. So I lay it down, and you know, they swipe it through, and I go on my merry way. I don't have to put down any money. I don't have to pay anything. I mean, they just like me over there. I mean, people like me. I mean, I don't know what the deal is. My bank is the same way. My bank is my account. My bank, my little, don't you love a check card? Aren't you glad you don't have to write checks anymore? I haven't written a check in years. I do all my online banking. It's great. I have a little check card. And I can see what, you know, the condition of my finances anytime I want to, right from my iPhone. Thank you very much. And so, I have a little thing, you know, the bank loves me like Starbucks does. I have this little thing. Now, if I like accidentally overdraw, they have what they call on my account overdraft protection. I mean, you know, if you have this, this is something they've just given to me because they like me. People like me wherever I go. And that is, if I like overdraw, they just cover it. Isn't that awesome? I mean, like if I have, I'm going to write a check for $150 and I've got $50, they just cover it. Just out of the goodness of their heart, they just cover it. I mean, it's that way everywhere I go. There's a catch, isn't it? A little bit of a catch. And that is, you know, someone had to deposit some money on this card. I'm drinking my coffee off of someone else's deposit, right? And they're going to, that overdraft only works, you know, just every once in a while. You have to have a strong relationship. You know what? Life works exactly the same way as this card in my bank. We operate not on the greenback currency, but on the currency of trust. And every relationship, before it ever goes anywhere, someone has to deposit into that relationship account trust. And the more you deposit trust in your relationship, family relationships, your marriage relationships, the higher the trust level, the higher the trust level, the higher the freedom, the higher the joy, and the less we try to hide things in our closets. And we love closets, right? We all have closets. As a matter of fact, we buy the last two houses we bought on the basis of the closet space. Because we have stuff that we don't use. But we want to keep, right? So we have closets. That's dumb. Not only do we have a closet, we have a storage space. Thank you, Jesus. If you live in this part of the country, if you can find one, you have been blessed. Because they're all full. Because we got stuff. We want to keep our stuff. And we want to hide it out of sight and keep it in closets. And I guess that's okay with stuff. But when we do that relationally, our families and our relationships fall apart. So, in this series, 7 Ways Weird Families Work, we've been talking about the different ways weird families work. Today, we're going to be talking about weird families work when closets have no doors. When we don't live with secrets, things that are hidden, because all of our trust accounts are overflowing with great deposits. The scriptures say it this way. Many a man claims to have unfailing love. I mean, it's easy to claim I'm a good guy. You can trust me. But how many of you have ever done that and been, you know, hoodooed? Done wrong? Been stiffed? Betrayed? Anyone? Okay, if you haven't, would you please leave and never, ever come back? Because we don't like people like you. Because you will lie about many other things. Right? But a faithful man who can find. I mean, isn't the Bible complicated, convoluted, so hard to understand? That's why it's out of date and unnecessary. I mean, do we have this problem? Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find... Anybody have anyone in your life who goes back on their word, who's hurt you, betrayed you, and particularly in your family? And here's what happens. When trust is in a deficit mode, we start hiding the truth. We start carving it off, and we start pulling away from each other, so there's distance between us. When you trust someone, you come up really close, and when you don't, the distance starts increasing. There are three conditions under which we hide our secrets or keep closets tightly locked on our closet doors, where we hide our stuff. One, any place where I feel that I'm going to be shamed, I hide my secrets. I don't come clean. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Now, that verse doesn't make a lot of sense to me, and I'll tell you why. Because it should read this way. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, every evil hidden thing. Why would God bring to light every good thing? I mean, good things are always out in the open, right? Because they're good. The problem is that when you start hiding for fear of being shamed, you not only hide the things that you did you shouldn't have done, but you hide the things that you could have done but didn't because you're living in a closet. Did you know the Bible? I mean, when this sin thing is a problem. I wish we could get away with it. I mean, I wish we could just cut that part out. The Bible says that to him who knows the good that he should do and doesn't do it, it is sin to him. Oh, man. So you're just cut both ways. We're just messed up all the way around. And God says, I'm going to bring justice to every hidden thing. There will be a day when everything will stand in the light of God's justice. The problem is, I just don't want to be there on that day by myself. How about you? One of the reasons I embrace Jesus Christ as my Savior is the Bible says that He is my advocate. It literally means my defense attorney. When I stand before God in eternity, and we all know that we will, and I give an accounting for my life, nothing that I've ever done that is sinful or wrong or dark or evil will ever be held against me because I have an advocate. And Jesus will step forth when all the records are read, and He'll just simply say to God the Father, the Judge of the universe, He's with me. He's with me. He's with me. Been paid. Already paid for. That's a whole other talk. I wish we could go there. But let's go on. I will hide not only when I fear to be shamed. I will also hide my secrets and keep closets when I fear being shunned. Now, this may be news for some of you who are not into the religion thing. But there are a lot of religions, even some who call themselves Christian, who are into the former practice of shunning. There are some call it church discipline. I don't know if you've ever heard of this or not. But church discipline is where you take a person who comes into your movement, into the life of your church or your gathering, and if you catch them in some behavior that is not Christianly, then you throw them out, give everybody their name, and you shun them. That's exciting, isn't it? I've had people call, there are people actually who are part of the gathering today who I've had their pastors call me and say, would you deny these people access? True story. No error in the story. You can't make this weird stuff up. And I said, what do we do? You know, we get a picture, get a stun gun, meet them at the door. Get away, great. Here's the problem. If we start throwing all of the adulterers out of this room, we're going to have to start throwing all the gluttons out of this room and all the lazy people out of this room. And all, I mean, just come on. Name the sin, particularly the ones that you're not guilty of. Can I hear anything now? And we would be here alone. If we start throwing everybody out. I mean, does the Bible say never pay back evil for evil? I think it does, doesn't it? Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you're honest, clear, and through and through. Listen, we've invited you into this room, and we know where you've been and what you've done and what you've been snorting and drinking. We know. You think I'm an idiot? Well, don't answer that. I get it. But you know what? If we stop, if we take everyone in our family or in our relational world that's messed up and we ignore them, pray tell me how they're going to get any better. Push them on out into the world of their dysfunction. You think they're going to ever get better? No. Shunning doesn't work. Shaming doesn't work. And shutting people out doesn't work. Until you change your behavior, you just can't be a part of my life. I've heard that. I just don't know. Does that help? Does silence help? Does being shut out help? Listen to what the scriptures say. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God for blank's sake has forgiven you. That's a really interesting word. It doesn't say that God has forgiven me and erased my moral debt. See, I'm living, and you're living. I've been wanting to say this for several weeks, and it just came to my brain. All of us in this room, think of it, are living in a moral deficit with God right now. Oh my goodness. You are overdrawn, dude. Way overdrawn. And the good news is the gospel is God has come in Jesus Christ and made up for what we lack, which is everything. So God, the Bible says that God doesn't forgive me because I'm worth it. He forgives me because Christ has earned it and has overlaid it on me. All right? Are you with me? So here's the deal. How are you going to ever, ever have a close relationship with your children, with your husband, with your wife, with your father, or with your mother if you hold them to a standard that not even God demands of you? You're not. If you start shutting out everyone, I know it's thorny and it's complicated. And if there are people in your life that are hurting you or abusing you or putting you in danger, there are times when you have to put them out for that season. But forever? Forever? Really? So what happens? What are the conditions in which trust grows? It seems to me that trust begins to grow in a family that makes this decision. One, we're going to live here with nothing to hide. We're not going to have secrets from each other. We're going to be honest and open with one another. Listen to what the scriptures say. Therefore, confess your sins to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and everything will be okie-dokie. Doesn't say that, does it? I do not like this verse. I have never liked this verse. I didn't like when I first read it. I didn't like it when I second read it. I didn't like it when I third read it. And I don't know how many times I've read it. I don't like it even more. I don't like it now. Confessing all of my sins to God is not that hard because He already knows. Well, it isn't hard. I'm making it sound easy. It is not that easy. Everyone would have already done it. But confess your sins to who? Oh, confess your sins to each other? Each other? Have you ever tried this? Have you been smacked in the head? It's called gossip? Well, in the church we call it prayer. Get on the email, just want to tell you that, blah, 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 oh, just want to tell you, look what I found out. We just want to pray for Bubba, look what I found out. Oh, yeah, go to exposebubba.com, and there it is. Oh, my gosh, good belief. Oh, my Lord. Have you ever taken someone in your confidence and regret and said, I'll never do that again? Burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. As destructive and painful as that is, and as far as that drives us from each other, what happens when it works? When we are able to come clean with some trusted friends who build a wall of confidentiality around the exposures that we make and protect us. Amen? How good could that be? What if you just live with nothing to hide and secondly, nothing to prove? Nothing to prove. I mean, people with something to prove will hurt you. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll steal, they'll do anything to get the brass ring. And then when they get the brass ring, they don't even know what to do with it. If you've ever been up the ladder of success and realized it was leaning against the wrong wall, you basically realize, you know what? If you're not comfortable with who you are right now, achieving a bunch of stuff is not going to make you any happier with you, because you take you wherever you go. I want to say this. I say this, you know, I hope my wife is listening, but and my children. But you know what? I'm about as good as I'm going to get. I have hair. I do. I have a lot of hair. It just like, it looks like old fart hair. And I just, you know, I just soon shave it off. Just mess with it. You know what I'm saying? My hair is not going to go darker. It's not going to go thicker. Have you ever seen the guys on TV who advertise Rogaine? Used to advertise Rogaine? They have no hair. Bunch of lying dogs. That's what they are. You know, I'm just not going to. You know, my hair is what it is. My personality, my temperament is kind of how it is. The energy flow in my life is kind of how it is. And I want to get smarter and better and all the rest. But you know, at the end of the day, I'm just kind of who I'm going to be. And I don't have anything else to prove. I hope that I can serve you and that I can honor you with what I do. But if you don't like me, you know what? At the end of the day, that's your problem, not mine. You know what I kind of, you know. So, you know, deal with it. And there's something okay about people like that. They won't hurt you trying to get to some place that will make them feel better about their deficits. You understand what I'm saying? We have nothing to hide, nothing to prove, and nothing to fear. Boy, good things happen in those kind of family relationships. I love what the Bible says about this: perfect love casts out fear. Here it is in the Amplified Version. There is no fear in love. Dread doesn't exist there. But full-grown, complete, and perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love. It has not yet grown into love's complete perfection. We love Him, we love Jesus, because He first loved us. We love God because He took the step toward us. He moved in our direction. He had compassion toward us. He pursued us, and He brought us to Himself. I had a blog I put up last week, and I'm going to put it this next week. It kind of deals with this issue, and that is, you know, Christianity, if you're here and you're observing the faith, let me just say these two things to you. One, Christianity cannot be proved. It just can't. Is there evidence? Yeah. Are there reasons? Yeah. Is some of it academic? You better believe it. I mean, I can give you all kinds of reasons why I trust the Bible. I mean, literary reasons. I can give you all these evidences. I can argue philosophically. But at the end of the day, I can't prove it to you. I can't prove to you that my family doctor exists. He's not here. I don't know where he is. If I were to call him up and say, "Dr. Smith, would you come over here and prove a point?" He'd probably say, "No." I don't blame him. Well, I just can't, you know, if you, the only way Christianity works is if it's real. And if Jesus is alive and the Holy Spirit is alive and the Word of God is alive and God is alive and God is moving toward us in love, then people's lives will be transformed by that love when they truly meet Jesus. And they're forgiven. When they fall before God and give up their fears and give up their sin and give up their hiding and give up the stuff that's killing them and say, "God, here I am. I surrender to your love." If you're waiting for someone to prove it to you, you'll be 2 days into hell before you realize you're dead. Because there's not enough books you can read. Can I hear an amen? I'm not against proof. I'm not against reading. I'm not against, you know, Tim Keller's new book, The Reason for God. I'm for all that stuff. At the end of the day, it cannot convert a human heart. Here's the second thing I just want to say, just because, and this will come this week in the blog, but, you know, one of the questions I hear quite often from people is, and it's a legitimate one, I think, when people say, "Well, you're just a Christian because that's how you were raised." And I think that is a legitimate concern. But I would respond in Will in the blog this way. I'm a Christian in spite of how I was raised. My mother just read my last book. My mother's 86 years old. And she is, you know, I've written several books. And I think this is the only book she's read, even though she has all the others. Because this is the only one she called me up on. She said, there's a bunch of stuff in this book I don't agree with. I said, really? She said, most of which has to do with me. And I said, well, Mother, then you would be wrong. Because those things are true. It wasn't about my mother being mean or being abusive, but it was about the condition in which I was raised in a spiritual environment that was dead orthodoxy, that was cultural Christianity. She didn't create it. It was just there. And there are an awful lot of people, I mean more and more and more people, who are Christians in spite of the hypocrisy that they saw. In spite of the cheap, easy believism and the screaming, spitting preachers and the come down front, burn or die while we go to the sky stuff. I think it's amazing that so many of us are in love with Jesus despite all the, can I say crap put up in His name. So if you're looking for faith, just understand, I'm not a Christian because how I was raised, because I wasn't raised a Christian. I was raised, I'm not going to say the denominational name because there are a lot of great people who are part of that denomination. I was raised in a certain denominational culture. That make sense? I mean, it was wrong. It just mean much of it had nothing to do with Jesus. So, now let's come back from that rabbit, all right? Now, how do you build trust? If you say, okay, in the environment where there is nothing to hide, nothing to fear, nothing to prove, what are the things you do? Because you have to do something. It says that above everything else, a man has to prove himself faithful. I have to prove every day that I am who I say I am by my actions. Write this down. Belief that behaves is believable. Ooh, that's good. Let's say that again. Belief that behaves is believable. One more time. Belief that behaves is believable. All right. So what is the behavior that builds trust and deposits trust into our relationships and allows those doors to come off and have a high trust environment? Let me give you five. Let's use the word trust. T-R-U-S-T. The first one is this. If you want trust, you first have to be trustworthy. Which basically means, going back to last week, you remember what we talked about last week? That weird families work when promises are kept. Keep your promises and you will earn trust. If you're saying, you know, I'm in my marriage or in my relationship with my kids and there's distance and you know what, they don't trust me. What do I do? Start being trustworthy. Make some little bitty promises and follow through. Say, I'll be at your game, or I'll do this, or we'll have lunch. Just little bitty deposits all along the way. Did you know, even in a relationship, if you say, we're going to have lunch at 12, and you're there at 12, did you know that's a deposit? Yeah. If you say 12 and it's 12:15, that is a withdrawal. Everyone gets tied up in the traffic. It happens to all of us, but it happens to you every time. It's trust deficit, right? You understand how this works? Be trustworthy. Number two, be respectworthy. I've heard people say to their children, you may not like me, but you're going to respect me. Bubba, you need to back up. You need to take some mouthwash and a pill. Well, here's one thing I do know. You cannot demand someone respect you. They can fear you, but they can't. You can't make it. Respect is something that I give to you. Listen, here's application. Proverbs 5. Drink from your own well, my son. I love that. Drink from your own what? Well. You remember back in the day when we used to drink after each other and we didn't know it'd kill us? Remember that? Wasn't that fun? You ever gone and drank through a pump handle well and you drink, you know, through a ladle and just pass it around, trading germs, loving life? It was great. Remember that? Now we know if you do that, you'll be dead in 4 hours. I mean, it's so bad even in my own home. home, we don't trade glasses. Did you drink out of that? They walk around. Look at it. Yeah, well, yeah, they got cooties. I'm your father. Drink that. You will respect me. No. Okay, I understand. Drink from your own well. I get that. Okay? Be faithful and true to your wife. That's what it means. Drink from your well. Okay, drink from your well. Okay, whatever. What does it mean? God says, I'm just saying, stay in the marriage bed, Bubba. Have sex with your wife, not someone else. And if you do, it is wrong. And it will cause you more pain than you could ever measure on any human scale. Doesn't mean it can't be forgiven. Doesn't even mean it can't be reconciled. But it will cause you more pain. And your wife will not respect you. And men can't be men when the women in their life have no respect for them. And everybody said,
amen.
Whew, it's hot up here. Trustworthy, respectworthy. How about this? Trust, you build trust when you are, here's the you, unshakable. That's what trust means. Trust means that I'm going to do this and it's not going to change. I love this verse. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men and women of courage. Be strong. Do everything out of fear, dread, and manipulation. And here, amen. Do everything in what?
Love.
You see, here's the deal. Most of us believe that love is like mama letting you have an extra cookie while daddy's not looking. That's love. But you think love is indulgence. And you believe in a Christianity where God killed Jesus as an example for his love and he just indulges your sin. And that would be heresy. God didn't kill Jesus. Jesus gave his life because he had to for God's justice to be satisfied and God's love to be extended to us. Here's why that's really, really, really important. That means love is strong. Love wins. Love pays the bill. Men, be convinced that your love for your family is stronger than anything you will ever achieve in anyone else's world. Love wins. Love is strong. Respond in love. You are not in deficit when you love, even in a place that is unloving. Love wins. Say that with me. Love wins. One more time. Love wins. Let's say this together. Belief that behaves is... There you go. Isn't this fun? Okay. Here's the S. I'm going to be trustworthy. I'm going to be respect-worthy. I'm going to be unshakable. I'm going to keep my promises. And I'm going to be sincere. Man, how important is this? To be sincere. This is so important. I tell you, this is my prediction. You know, I can tell you who's going to be our next president. The person who convinces America they are the most sincere. Absolutely. Hands down. That's who I'm going to vote for. You say, well, they may be lying. Yep, you're right. They may be. I don't know. It may be a ploy. You're right. It could just be politics. You're right. But you know what? I don't have any other governor through or lens through which to make that decision. You understand? Do I want, for example, do I want a really great heart surgeon who could give a rip whether I die or live? No. No. I want a great heart surgeon who will fight for me on that table. Amen? I want someone who has a sincere heart and sincerity, convinces people you're worth trusting. What a great... Listen. Hey, any of us in this room can be this. Anyone can be sincere. Unless, of course, you're hiding a bunch of stuff and you're afraid you're going to be exposed. Man, rip those doors off and just say, you know what? This is who I am. All my sins, my warts and imperfections. Can you love me this way? And not only will you hear God say that, you also hear the people in your life say, I can love you like that. I can do that. I can love someone who's honest and open and sincere. And the last one, it comes out of the first, the trustworthy, respect-worthy, unshakable, sincere. The last two you get is transparency. I love this. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Isn't the Bible convoluted and difficult and hard to understand? Let your yes be yes And you know we know. Now, let me ask you, if you've ever, don't volunteer your husband or your wife's vote on this, but have you ever lied when the truth would serve just as well? That is my proof that we're all weird and messed up. Because we've all done it. And any of you who lie, say you haven't done it, have just done it. So we fight for this. Let me close with saying this to you. This is something that you'll only learn if you go to seminary. Because ordinary people don't get told this by God. Here it is. There is a conspiracy going on. That's why this stuff is so hard. That's why it's easy to listen to. You hear me talk about it and you say, man, this is easy. Yeah, I can do that. And then you go out of here and you act worse than when you came. Come on. You know why? Because there's a spiritual force that mitigates against you accomplishing the very thing that God wants you to have. Satan is real, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't live in Iraq. He is operative all over the world, and he wants to keep you at a distance from the people who can love you best. He wants you to be angry and upset. He wants you to be filled with paranoia and fear. He wants you to retreat. He wants to fill your life full of self-doubt. He wants you to be convinced you're the only person as messed up as you are. And he wants to keep us separated. And I'm telling you, don't let him have that victory. It is yours. Because there's nothing better than loving relationships when there's high trust. Let's pray. Father, I ask you this morning to work in our lives and achieve a victory here this morning. I pray that you will save a marriage here this morning. That you'll save a son and his father relationship. That you will save a family this morning. That you will save a job relationship. That you will save a company this morning. That you will have the victory that you'll push into our lives with your deep, profound love. And push out all the lies that we tell each other in the dark. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great day.